life. I also have Matane Makgato, who is the chairperson of the Land Bank's Credit and Investment Committee. We're also joined by Michelle Pillay, who is the chairperson of our Audit and Finance Committee. We also have on the line the interim CEO of the Land Bank, Kensani Mukari, as well as Mr. Sydney Soundi, who is the Land Bank's executive head for strategy and communications. Honourable members, we have prepared a presentation which we have circulated prior to the meeting. We will take you through the presentation in about 45 minutes, and thereafter, Chairperson, then open up for questions. So through you, Chair, I would like to hand over to Kensani Mukari, who will take us through the first part of the presentation and then hand over to Sydney. Thank you.
Thank you, Yaa. Can you manage your side to me saying next, and so on? It's just a waste of time. So for a sort of seamless flow, you'll decide when and who speaks to, okay? But 45 minutes to maximum of an hour, preferably 45 minutes. Thank you, because I've had you so many times in the last year, so thank you.
Noted. Thank you, Chairperson. Kensani?
Chairperson and Chair of Board, and honourable members. Thanks for the opportunity to for us to engage with yourselves. I will take members, as the Chair mentioned, through the first part of the presentation, and then I'll be followed by Mr. Simbini Soundi. Simbini, if you can put the presentation in presentation mode, please. Okay, it's not moving on my side. So, Chair, we have circulated the presentation beforehand.
We'll catch up with the screen, but I'm giving it to us and we've looked at it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, going through the presentation, we basically have the agenda, and in the agenda, we're going to cover. We've included a slide just to show what we had covered, the subjects that we had covered with the committee in the previous engagement, which was in June 2021. For today, we'll cover the key challenges that the Land Bank faces. We'll cover the financial performance, and then we'll go to the FY 2022 quarter four reporting, and then close with the key priorities that we're looking at as directed by the board in the short term. I'm not going to go through the content for the previous session. I'll go straight to the key challenges that the bank faces, starting with the current state of Land Bank. So, Chair, under leadership and capacity, what we've done is we've categorized the challenges or the position that the bank is in currently and what it's dealing with. Under leadership and capacity, Chair, the bank has undergone a leadership change. Actually, leadership changes recently, with a new board having been appointed on the 8th of December 2021. Given the challenges faced by the bank, Chair, the board has had to hit the ground running in order to provide guidance and leadership of the organization. The bank has also had two resignations at executive management level. As the Chair mentioned, interim measures have been put in place to close the gap while the bank recruits for this position. And this resignation's Chair is the former CEO, Mr. Ayanda Kanana, who left the bank end of April, and the Executive Manager for Agricultural Economics and Advisory, who left at the end of March. Acting incumbents have been appointed to fill the roles in the meantime to ensure continuity, Chair. We're also seeing high turnover, staff turnover, and mainly owing to the uncertainty, Chair, that is presented by the state of default the bank is still operating under currently. The bank is exploring initiatives to retain staff chair, because as we re-establish ourselves and rebuild, we need skills to be able to do so. Under financial sustainability, the bank is currently operating under a state of default, and this has been the case from April 2020. Since the default, we have seen some customers moving their facilities to other financiers, such as commercial banks. This chair has served the organization well in that it has allowed us to collect enough cash to reduce some of the debt. To date, we've paid, or are still paying, around 42.84% of debt that we had at point of default. It also allows the bank chair to reprofile itself to focus on the development and transformation mandate, so it allows for that tilt to start happening. The bank reported significant losses in the past two financial years, and that is financial years 2020 and 2021. This chair was mainly due to the extensive cleanup process that the bank has had to undertake post the disclaimed audit opinion in financial year 2020. The bank has, however, started to turn around and is showing signs of improvement in its financial performance. And this chair will cover in the slides that are coming around financial performance. The quality of the loan book has deteriorated owing to customers moving to other financiers, which in itself alters the profile of the loan book and the bank's limited capacity to fully fund our clients. A non-performing loan remediation process has been implemented to arrest the loan book deterioration, as well as to rehabilitate clients who are struggling to service their loans as far as practically possible. On development effectiveness, the composition of our loan book here, it shows a small development and transformation portfolio when you compare it to the total book. This change is something that the bank is awake to and working hard to change. Under the guidance of the new board, the bank is strategically transforming itself to better support development and transformation in the country going forward. To mitigate for the limited liquidity, the bank is working with the private sector to create partnerships that will enable enterprise supplier development, as well as enable development customers end-to-end, including ensuring that by the time the seed is planted, there is someone on the other side ready to buy the produce. The bank is also reviewing its funding structure to make sure that the funding that we have is suitable for development funding. So currently, if you look at the land bank book, from a funding perspective, the bank has largely been funded from the market, which is very expensive and it's not ideal to support development farmers. So going forward, the bank will work more with blended finance and other structures that supports development finance. From a governance perspective, the bank is working hard to improve its governance. An audit remedial process was initiated after the FY 2020 disclaimed audit outcome and is still running. And Chair, this has actually borne fruit in that for FY 2021, the bank received a qualified audit. It's not where we want it to be, but it is a notable improvement from where we started. Internal controls in other areas, such as ethics, risk management, and internal audit, continue to be enhanced. There is also a focus, Chair, in reducing operating expenditure in the bank. Looking at client service, we have spoken about the effect of the state of default. So, Chair, the bank has struggled to support the sector as required, given the capacity constraints, and that's when we one of the things we're looking at is the partnerships with the private sector. We're also working with Dalrat on the blended finance piece. So we're looking at different options to be able to fund development going forward. The majority of the book, and that's under SLA insourcing, that was previously managed by intermediary partners through service level agreements, has been insourced and is now managed in-house. Chair, this is allowing the bank to improve controls around this portion of the book. So what you notice as we go through the slides, Chair, is that the SLA space, so this is the book that was outsourced, it's one of the main areas where the bank has been experiencing massive challenges around controls. This SLAs have been in place for I think they were entered into around 10 years ago. And these are some of the challenges, Chair, that we are dealing with. Next slide, Sibi. The next slide, Chair, it really, we have previously, in the previous engagement, we did take the committee through this slide. So I will not go through it in detail in the interest of time, Chair. The essence of this slide is really to show that the challenges that the bank is facing have been coming a long time. It's not something that happened over time. As we try to address this or work to address these challenges, we need to understand the underlying factors and how this came about, Chair. Moving to the liability solution. So as an update, Chair, we have previously reported on the event of default that the bank found itself in. At that point, we suspended the payment of interest and capital across all our funding facilities and went into a de facto standstill. As an organization, we are grateful to our lenders for the support that they have provided LendBank and continue to work with us as we strive to restructure the bank. To date, Chair, only one lender has called on its debt and was subsequently settled, but the rest of the lenders have been working with us very closely, very supportive. We're hoping to find a solution together with them very soon to take the bank out of the state of default that it's in. Chair, after the default, we appointed financial advisors to help us with the turnaround strategy. That process is currently still in progress. We also have been obtaining support, Chair, and we're grateful to Parliament and the National Treasury. We have appropriated $10 billion in total to support the restructure and turnaround process of the bank as it reestablishes itself as a development and transformation vehicle in the agricultural sector in the country. $3 billion of that, Chair, was transferred to the bank in September 2020. And the $7 billion is expected during the 2023 financial year, as well as the 2024 financial year. Chair, I did indicate earlier that the bank has been able to reduce its debt by about 42.8% across the board. That, Chair, for local lenders amounts to $14 billion that the bank has repaid. We have been paying that in tranches. So if you look at the slide, we've tried to show how much was paid when, and the last payment is currently in progress, Chair. Most people have indicated that it's unusual for an organization in a state of default to be repaying its debt. And I think this, in a way, Chair, bears testimony to the quality of some of our customers. Of course, we have a mixed bag like any other financier, but we've been able to do so through as we collect and as we as customers settle their facilities check. In terms of where we are around the liability solution, we are working to find a new liability solution. So towards the end of last year, we were looking to conclude liability solution 3, which is the third version of the liability solution. So Chair, we've been through 3 versions. Now we're working on our 4th. And I think, Chair, this talks to the complexity of the restructuring process that the bank is undergoing. And there are various factors, Chair, that contribute to that. Some have indicated that this is probably the most complex restructure that has needed to be done in the country, owing to the funding structure of the bank, owing to the number of funders that sit in the book, and the diversity of those funders as well. And it has proved to be a challenge and has taken longer than we had initially anticipated to conclude the solution. The newly appointed board is implementing an improved and collaborative program, Chair, of engagement with lenders, where we have ongoing engagements with them, including workshops to consider and address the bank issues that the lenders have raised as we construct the new liability solution. Some of the main concerns, Chair, for the benefit of the committee that lenders had raised, they wanted more work done, more due diligence work to be done in addition to the independent review work that was undertaken during late 2021. They wanted the solution to be able to address the tail risk, Chair, which means that essentially no one carries any losses as a result of this restructure. They were concerned about finding a solution that is equitable and treats all lenders equally and fairly, and finding a holistic and sustainable solution that will address all the difficulties that the bank faces. In terms of timelines, collectively with the lenders, we are working towards 30 September 2022 for conclusion and implementation of the liability solution. They operating in a state of default, Chair, comes with some risks. It poses some risks to the organization. Some of the risks is the inability to operate fully. We are unable to access funding in the market, and that has hugely impacted the sector in that we haven't been able to fully service the sector the way we used to do previously. We've seen the loan book quality deteriorating. I have touched on this before. We've seen loss of staff. And of course, Chair, there is reputational risk given the challenges we're facing. In mitigation, Chair, the bank is collaborating intensively with lenders as indicated and National Treasury to find a solution that will work for all stakeholders. We're exploring partnerships with the private sector to address the funding gap that has been created as a result of being in a state of default. We're proactively monitoring the loan book to identify challenges early and address where required. And of course, Chair, the ultimate goal is to conclude the liability solution because it addresses holistically all of the challenges that or risks that have been introduced by the state of default. The next steps, as indicated, we're working with lenders to conclude the liability solution to allow the bank to start rebuilding and shape itself towards becoming a true DFI. Chair, without curing the default, it's very difficult for LendBank to commence with our developmental and transformation initiative. We are starting to generate business or to fund the sector in that we have ring-fenced working together with the lenders, we have ring-fenced 500 million that will go towards the what we call the recommencement of lending. So for the past 2 years, Chair, the bank has literally been in maintenance mode. We haven't been really funding the sector except for existing customers. And even with our existing customers, it was mainly production that we were funding. So we recommencing lending and working with partners such as Dalrad and others in the private sector. We believe through blended solutions, the 500 will become a billion, Chair. That process is currently underway as we speak. We mentioned we have reduced our debt significantly by 42.8%, our operating model, of course, will be informed by the strategic trajectory as we move forward, Chair. And that's on the challenges, the state of the bank and the challenges. We'll now move towards the financial performance of the bank. Chair, some of the pieces that are included here have been covered in the previous slide. But essentially, what we're saying here in terms of context is that despite the challenges that the bank faces, it continues to operate under very difficult circumstances, but we continue to support our customers. We're starting to recommence funding, and we keep driving to close on the liability solution, Chair, which will take the bank out of its state of default. As mentioned, we have put aside 500, which we hope will grow to a billion to recommence funding in the development space. We have observed, Chair, since the default, and some of them have been covered. Of course, the loan book has been decreasing. This has been, in a way, good for us in terms of making traction to be able to repay the debt and also continue to support our customers. The 500 that we're talking about comes from this pool, as an example. We've seen compressing net interest margins, and this is mainly due to the increased cost of funding on the debt that was defaulted on. We have indicated, Chair, one of the challenges is increasing non-performing loans, and we are taking steps to address that. We have seen that some of the components of the book were not optimally priced at origination, and we're looking at ways to deal with that. The bank continues to rely mainly on one revenue stream, which is interest income. Chair, we are working as an organization and as part of the strategy going forward to diversify our revenue streams. I have spoken to the audit outcomes and the fact that we have implemented a remediation process that is still continuing today, Chair. In terms of the financial performance, overall, I think let me start by addressing why we only presenting the February 2022 numbers. So, Chair, after the 2020 audit, financial year 2020 audit outcome, which was a disclaimed audit opinion, the bank embarked on an extensive remedial process to address the gaps that were identified. And that helped us move the audit outcome from a disclaimed audit opinion to a qualified audit opinion. We are still continuing with the remedial work, Chair, as we go into the 2022 financial year to make sure that from our side, we're aiming for a clean audit. If we have things our way, Chair, we're working hard to attain a clean audit. And that's the reason for the delay. So now, we are only now finalizing our March numbers, which is our full year numbers as we speak. And that is why we've only included up to February 2022. Chair, the direction, having looked at the interim March numbers, it's still the same. So what you see, Chair, is overall for Feb 2022 year to date, the bank is showing some improvement in terms of its financial performance, and this is across all the lines. The one area perhaps, Chair, that is showing deterioration, and we have already spoken to it, is the non-performing loan. So if you look at the net interest margin, there's huge improvement compared to previous years. Same with the impairment, where for this year we're seeing a release. Our operating expenses, Chair, the efforts that and the initiatives that we have implemented to contain and reduce costs, you can see them paying dividends. You see a clear reduction. And the year-to-date loss, Chair, has turned into a profit. Our cash reserves have improved. Investments, we have actually disposed most of our investments, non-core investments, to boost our cash resources. Our net loans have decreased as indicated, and we have been able to reduce our funding liabilities significantly, Chair. So I think overall, as mentioned, the bank is starting to slowly turn itself around. The next slide, Chair, it talks to the mismatch that the bank is sitting with. If you look at the gross loans, from a year upwards, we're sitting with around 21, 22 billion. So this is money that is resting with the agricultural sector, Chair. On the other hand, we have our funding liabilities, which is the debt that we owe to our financiers. And when you look at the funding liabilities, you have about 17 that is due and payable within a year. And then the rest is over a year onwards. But this mismatch, Chair, is one of the contributing factors to where the bank finds itself today. And this is the solution that the restructuring process is trying to find. So part of the restructuring process is to say there's a huge mismatch. You have debt that needs to be paid now, but your money is sitting with the sector. So somehow we need to find a middle ground with the lenders in terms of how we repay them without impacting our customers. So this is when we talk about the liability solution, Chair, this is what it's trying to solve for, essentially. Moving on to the loan book, we previously presented this slide, Chair. It was only on the 2021 financial year where we showed the split of the book between direct and indirect. And at that stage, the book was sitting, we had 60% indirect and then 40% was sitting with the SLAs. Through the insourcing process, Chair, we now sit with 92% of the book direct. So that's under the direct management of the land bank, and a very small portion which is still outsourced, so only 8%. As previously mentioned, Chair, this will allow us to, and has actually started to allow us to address the challenges that were largely sitting in the SLA book. So when one looks at our audit report, Chair, it's very clear that where the bank had the biggest challenges in terms of controls around management of the book was on the book, part of the book that was outsourced. And the next slide actually shows that in numbers, Chair. It talks to the loan book or the non-performing portion of the loan book. So if you look at what we presented in 2021, Chair, at that point, as mentioned, we still had a significant portion that was outsourced. And you can see the NPL ratio, so the part of the book of 53% of the loan book that was previously sitting with the SLAs and insourced at that stage was not performing. What we're seeing now, having insourced the majority of the book, is that 76% of the book that was previously outsourced and now insourced into the bank is non-performing. And that's a huge challenge, Chair. And that's what we're trying to address. And hence the importance, Chair, of the bank having insourced the book, because it allows us to properly manage this loan book. Chair, in terms of the way forward, the bank is working with its lenders to craft a revised liability solution to cure the event of default. And as previously mentioned, we're aiming towards the 30th of September 2022 for that process to be concluded and implemented. We have indicated, Chair, that the Parliament and National Treasury allocated 10 billion for land banks to help with the process. The bank is working on a new strategy that will allow it to focus on the re-establishment of its development and transformation mandate, and most importantly, Chair, in a sustainable manner. We have set aside 500 million to recommence lending and development, and we are working to remediate the non-performing loans so to contain the loan book deterioration as well as to rehabilitate. And then in addition, the bank is continuing with its audit remediation and cost containment plans that has been implemented. We are looking at, so to ensure profitability and financial sustainability of the bank, Chair, we are implementing a revised strategy that integrates pre and post finance, and that's essentially walking the journey with the client before financing up to harvesting, Chair. And we have indicated this involves close collaboration with private sector players in agriculture. We have reviewed our pricing model and with a view to making sure that it's appropriate for pricing development finance, from an affordability perspective, but also ensuring financial sustainability for the organization. We are reviewing our funding model as indicated. I think it's important, Chair, that as we move forward as an organization, our funding is properly geared to support development and transformation in a sustainable manner. So that process is currently underway. And of course, we continuously review the operating model to ensure it fits for purpose and also to make sure that our operating costs are appropriate. Okay. I will pause there and at this point hand over to Mr. Soundy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair of the Committee, honourable members, and the board and executives of Land Bank. I'm going to try and save some time, given what we have already covered thus far. So what you see in front of you, Chair, is the context of what we agreed to with the shareholder. In terms of the shareholder compact. We were exempted, Chair, from submitting the prescribed corporate plan But we still had a strategic plan through which we devised our shareholder compact with a shareholder. And we, as a result, entered into that shareholder compact, which performance scorecard is here with provided. So I'll take the scorecard as having been read, and I'll try and emphasize a number of issues related to that scorecard. What I wanted to indicate here, Chair, is that the way we devised our commitment to the shareholder compact was to classify the objectives into four specific quadrants. The one relates to what the acting CEO has covered, which is largely around getting us out of the current default position and moving the liability solution as quickly as we can. The other aspect was for us to look at the initiatives that stabilizes the performance of the organization and show that when we have got through the liability solution, that we have a good basis through which to manage the financial sustainability of the bank going forward. And then the client and staff focus, ensuring that by the time we get out of the default, that we haven't lost our capability to provide appropriate services to our clients, but also to look after the most important asset of the bank, being our employees. And the fourth aspect being that of governance, internal controls, and ensuring that we improve the disclaimer of audit opinion that we experienced for the financial year 2020. And indeed, that aspect was improved in 2021, where we had a qualified audit. So in terms of financial sustainability, I'm not going to repeat matters that were already covered by the acting CEO. Suffice to say that the non-performing loans, as you see there, the percentage increases to a higher number. The volume is also higher. But it increases to a higher number largely because of the decline in the book. And as the acting CEO indicated, the very good clients that we have so far retained, some of those found opportunities to be financed elsewhere with other financial institutions. Given that with the situation in which we are, we haven't been able to fully support the financial needs of our clients, so they had to look for opportunities to do so. If you can move to the next slide. Then in terms of the mandate, Chair, we're aiming to retain the development and transformation portfolio. So even as we lost clients, our attempt was to ensure that we retain our development lines in our books to set a basis of our turnaround when the liability solution has been concluded, because that's where our biggest focus is going to be going into the future. We want a book that will consist largely of development and transformation plan. You can see there that we didn't retain the extent of the projected number that we wanted to, on the similar reasons as already provided in terms of how the book has shrunk. There was also a need for us to start developing an operating model that will ensure that we meet the conditions and the turnaround strategy of the bank post the liability solution. It was largely based on the previous liability solution that was not concluded. And even though it had been approved at that time, we did not go ahead and execute on it. And the current board is reviewing our operating model so that it can align to the new liability solution and the new vision and strategy of the bank. So although we have done some work, we haven't necessarily implemented there. As I indicated on the client focus slide, we continue to ensure that the basics and the fundamentals of our processes are appropriately improved so that when we do get into lending activities largely, that we are appropriately ready to do so. And so that also talks to the issues of building appropriate capabilities in the organization. If we can move to the next one. So similarly here, Chair, I spoke about the need for us to ensure that in the current uncertainties, we look after the motivation, interest, and the well-being of our employees. So we do some of these measures where we assess where employees are at in terms of the climate so that we can address some of the challenges. But as you know, Chair, this is a very difficult time for our organization. We are very pleased that our employees have been with us in this tough period and have contributed immensely to some of the achievements that the acting CEO also spoke about, but also, as you see, some of the green items that are in the performance scorecard. If we can move to the next one. So here, Chair, I just want to highlight maybe the issue relating to irregular expenditure. This irregular expenditure, Chair, relates to the SLA, the biggest amount there to SLA agreement that the bank entered into since 2010, when most of these SLA partnerships were agreed to. There have been extensions after that, which extensions did not meet the prescripts as required. And in this year's assessment, it was found that those extensions were actually irregular, and that's why you see the amount as high as it is because it dates back to various extensions that were undertaken on these particular agreements. But the acting CEO has also indicated to the meeting chair that we have since gone through a process of insourcing all of these arrangements so that the bank does its own lending directly. So those challenges should now be a thing of the past going forward. Chair, the remediation plan has already indicated yielded some successes in terms of moving us from where we were before into a better state. We still are targeting, Chair, to achieve an unqualified audit, so that target still remains. The audit is not yet undertaken and concluded. In the next slide, Chair, we just thought that the interest of the committee will be on understanding how, in the period of time that we've been going through in the last 2 years, this has impacted on our portfolio, our book portfolio. And you will see, Chair, that the book has been reducing, as indicated already from the acting CEO's presentation. Fortunately, if one can use that terminology, the reduction in the development and transformation portfolio has not been as significant in percentage-wise as has been the case with the corporate and commercial portfolio of the bank. So we are pleased that a bigger portion of our development portfolio is still retained in the bank because that's where our future focus is going to be. We'll build on onto this, as you can see now, in terms of the split, 27% of our portfolio as of today exists or is made up of development and transformation clients. The next slide, Chair, is an issue which we have previously lamented our progress on. We have since undertaken specific strategic arrangements that we think will boost particularly our performance in as far as bringing in youth into the agricultural sector. The numbers, as you can see, are not significant. The new board and the leadership is of the view that with these strategic initiatives that we are looking at, that we should be able to start growing this area of our business, being the youth and women participants and inclusion in the sector. So, Chair, I think I will need to pause here and hand over to the Chair of the Board to conclude on our presentation. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Sidney. So, honourable members, in this section, we want to take the committee through what the board is prioritising in the current financial year. We have also set priorities of the medium term, but we thought that it is important to highlight what we'll be focusing on in this year in order to cure the bank's state of default, to stabilise the bank and to really intensify our turnaround process. The first priority of the board is, of course, concluding the liability solution, which is meant to cure the bank's state of default so that we are able to return to a sense of normality from an operational point of view. We are also prioritizing the remediation of our loan book, really focusing on curing the situation with respect to non-performing loans, bringing clients back to a state of performance, working with our clients to improve portfolio performance. We're also focusing, honourable members, on improving the operational performance of the bank. We're quite aware of the challenges that clients have had in terms of delivery from the land bank in the past, and we are dealing quite decisively with these issues. And this includes aspects related to turnaround times, related to our credit processes, relating to the constitution of our teams, etc. But we are doing this while keeping an eye on cost and really keeping a lean and mean operation from a cost point of view. We're also, as Sidney and Kansani have mentioned, really seeing dealing with this issue around the loss of critical staff. Without the staff members of the Land Bank, we won't be able to turn around this institution. So we are working with our staff, taking feedback from them, and really seeing what we can implement internally to improve our retention initiatives within the bank. Then, honourable members, as Kansani has mentioned, in this current financial year, we're working very closely with the Auditor General to strengthen our internal controls. We are aiming for significantly improved audit outcomes in this current financial year, and we hope that when we come back to the committee, we'll be able to report that improvement. Honourable members, we're also, one of the other priorities of the board is this issue of consequence management. We are quite aware that there have been events that have led to the bank being in the state that it is in. We have been working with the Ministry of Finance to look at how it is that we can really start to see who needs to be held accountable for certain actions that occurred within the bank in the past, how it is that we implement solid accountability mechanisms, and where possible really recoup any financial losses that may have occurred in the past. This is something that we are initiating at board level and have set up a board task team to really deal with this in a very targeted manner. We're also, Honourable Chair, finalising our development and transformation strategy that will look at a number of elements that Sidney and Kansani have already spoken to. This includes looking at issues related to pre- and post-financing support, looking at issues related to how we originate, how we prioritise certain areas, particularly looking at areas of high impact, looking at how we contribute to development of the former homeland areas, how we align to the agricultural master plan, etc. And so that will be a plan that we will be putting forward, not just to the shareholder, but also sharing with Parliament as well. We are also, as the eighth priority of the bank, focusing on this issue of confidence building, looking at a number of initiatives to restore the reputation of the bank. And we are fully aware that this is something that we can only do through solid and consistent performance, and that is what we are aiming to do. We are fully aware that farmers have been let down by the Land Bank, and we are are engaging with farmer organizations, really seeing how it is that we can start to restore the confidence in the bank and start to deliver in a manner that is required by this agricultural sector. Lastly, honorable members, is this issue of the funding model of the land bank. You may have heard in previous engagements that we have had in the committee that the current funding model of the land bank is inappropriate for the development mandate that the institution is meant to be pursuing. We are engaging very closely with the Treasury. We're engaging very closely with our financiers to see how it is that we can rejig the finance model, the funding model of the land bank, to ensure that we're able to provide funding to emerging farmers at affordable rates, but also in a patient manner that allows us to support them over the long term. Chairperson, that is our story. I will hand over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Over to members. Questions, please. Whose hands are up? I see Dennis. Is anybody else? Nope. And then I see Chitoy and Arbacom. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to you and the colleagues and everyone from the Land Bank. Welcome. Mr. Nkosi, well, Chair, perhaps just to you first. I think we should make a standing item that we have a welcome of the new Chair and the acting CEO of all of the entities that we have presenting to us. But Ms. Nkosi, congratulations on your appointment.
I was going to say that later, but you're right, and I do so now. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, for instructing me.
Well, Chair, wouldn't it have been nice if we had the Minister here to introduce his new Chair to this important...
No, can we just not the norm? Let's not cover this. Can you engage with the...
Let's not go down that argument again this week, huh?
Nobody...
Ms. Nkosi, welcome. Congratulations on your appointment.
I'm out of order. Engage with the powers that be. Thank you. Can we go ahead?
Thank you very much. Cool. Ms. Nkosi, welcome. Thank you for the presentation. I wish you good luck. It's an important organization. You certainly are breaking the mold, and I think that it would be wonderful to see you succeed. So we wish you all the best from my point of view, and I hope I'm speaking on behalf of the rest of the committee. So, yes, thanks for the presentation. I'm going to ask some questions looking backwards and some others looking forwards. So, of course, we've had a 3 billion rand bailout and then a 7 billion rand bailout that's come from Treasury. I hope there's someone from Treasury who's going to be able to answer, because some of the questions will need some of their inputs as well. So the first one is, how much of that historically has been used to settle arrears? And perhaps you can give us an indication of whether there remains a portion in arrears or not with some of the funders, and how much has been used to cover operational expense, operational costs. Obviously, I'm looking for an approximation, not an exact to the cent figure, but if you can give us a feeling as to how the bailouts were used. Then, quite an important point, I think, for the committee to get its head around. You know, as politicians, we see the minister take the platform and make an announcement of a bailout, and then we presume that it happens. Can you, as the land bank, give us just some background as to how long did it take from the announcement by the minister until the money actually hit your accounts and enabled you to start sorting out some of your problems? And perhaps Treasury, because I think I know the answer to the question already, so perhaps Treasury can comment on that as well specifically. Then in terms of your asset register, buildings on your books, can you give us an indication of, you know, how many buildings do you have on your books and whether they're all being utilized fully by your operation? Are some of them up for sale or perhaps to lease to other departments? Are you talking to Public Works about this sort of thing, if you can tell us that? I think that the liquidity challenges are fairly obvious to everyone. You know, I just want to know, are you in a position yet to start lending to farmers again? Because I think that the reality is that loans have kind of been on the back burner. There haven't been loans advanced except for input costs. So are you in a position to start lending again? Then the last two questions, and Ms. Nkosi, I think both of these are for you. The first one is an opportunity to make the statement and make it clear. You spoke about consequence management, which is not a phrase I like to hear. I like to hear about consequences for misbehavior, not managing them, but actually dealing with the consequences. So question one of these last two is, was the land bank used as an instrument of state capture, in your opinion? Question two of the last two is then, are you a DFI or a commercial bank in terms of your planning and your vision? And does that kind of align with Treasury's way that they're treating you and their vision for the land bank as well? I think that if we're a DFI, the funding model becomes a little bit different and a little bit more important to get our hands on. You can just tell us in terms of your vision and Treasury's vision, is there an alignment? Chair, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis. I'll come back on this issue of ministers being invited all the time on a Tuesday. We need some criteria and some requests. I want to stress now, it's absolutely in our power and it is our right. It's established in the Constitution and in the rules of Parliament. We have every right to call a minister and or a deputy minister to account to Parliament. That's not the issue. But can the members discuss this toward the end of this? We can't keep raising this thing. It's not the norm in this Parliament to call in the minister every Tuesday in our case. Then there'll be clashes with several other committees, the four finance committees here, and the minister will spend his or her time, all their time, all the time here. That's not the issue. The issue is on specific issues. Like last week, we were told we should have called the minister and blah, blah, blah. Now we're being told that we should, let's just deal with this matter so we don't come back to it, please, before other members raise this. Can we also ask people to raise with the powers that be changes to rules and norms? They must go to the Chief of Forum. They must go to the NCOP Chair's Forum, discuss it with the National Assembly and set the new rules. And we will abide by those rules, like our chairperson in appropriations was merely implementing the rules last week and she was battered for it. Go and change the rules. We're not a rule-changing committee. So I hear you, Dennis. Write a letter next time, a week before, and I will negotiate together with Nkululeko and the minister, deputy minister, and the officers. There's no harm in calling them here. Look, the land bank, let me put it right now before anybody else speaks, is the sort of structure that both the NA and NCOP need the minister to come and respond to. It should be a joint meeting, I think. But then there are members in our committee who will say, no, we can't have joint meetings. But, you know, we'll come back to that later. Those are issues that we ask members to go to the legal services unit, to go to the speaker, to the NCOP chair, and sort those out outside our meeting. But Dennis, there's no problem. You want the minister here, deputy minister here, we can suggest it within the next 6 months when we call the land bank in again. And I hope we will, because, you know, basically we have to pursue issues of the land bank, as you can see from today's input. Okay, over then to the next speaker. I think it was Mr. Fani Chutoy, and then after Mr. Willie Outcome, then it's Mr. Molesade, and then it's Mr. Mashlango. Good. Go for it, people.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I also just want to appreciate the presentation. I've got quite a few questions. I want to know, what is the estimated total financial loss that was incurred for the past 5 years? And then, Land Bank, you mentioned consequence management plans to be implemented. And now, we must remember that the Land Bank is not a new entity. It was founded in 1912, and I mean, a lot of things has happened since then. But you've agreed that the current funding model is inappropriate. Wouldn't it be wise to first focus on getting the land bank to be profitable again, putting the transformation agenda on hold? Because the effect that the current financial state of the land bank has got an overflow, a ripple effect. I mean, even the development bank also has to pay more in interest as a result of the land bank being defaulting on its payments. And this is taxpayers' money that we are talking about. You mentioned that the bank currently operates in default and mentioned that the part of the reason is the fact that the customers has moved to commercial banks. But you said this caused the loan book to deteriorate. It makes sense. But what we must remember is with our previous engagement, the Land Bank indicated that they turned away about 50% of its paying customers to focus on the transformation mandate. I mean, this is customers that took money from Land Bank, paid interest, paid it back, and now they are elsewhere. So, I mean, it's basically slaughtering the goose that lays the golden eggs. It doesn't make sense. On the slide indicating the challenges between 2015 and 2020, you mentioned droughts, foot and mouth disease, etc. But no mention was made of the management issues, the failure to recover debt, the lack of security on loan contracts. Why was no mention made of this? Please, we'd like to have more information on that. And then, do you have any plans in place to invite the paying customers back that were turned away in 2021? I assume that will not happen because it might not form part of your transformation policy, but if you can just provide clarity, it will be appreciated. And then would you say that the 10 billion rand bailout will be sufficient to make the bank profitable again? If not, how much more money will be needed to get out of trouble? You mentioned that the 17.7 billion is due in the next 12 months. Would you be able to honor this responsibility, or will we need more money from Treasury side to assist you to honor that 17.7 billion that's due? And then I want to know, why did Land Bank outsource its loan book? Being a financial service provider itself, you boasted in having competent staff, and staff being the best part of Land Bank, most important part of Land Bank. And then what was the average outsource cost per year? And for how many years did these companies handle the books? What terms were they appointed? I assume that these outsourcing agents were also triple BEE companies. And can we maybe be provided with a list of these companies? Obviously, I don't expect you to answer all the questions now. If the answers can be sent afterwards, it will be appreciated. But I think it's important questions that is being asked to which we need the answers, please. And then in the schedule where you indicated the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it is stipulated March 2022, 82,000 rand, fruitless, is it now 1,000 or million? Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, 944 million irregular expenditure. How much of these funds do you anticipate to recover after subtracting your legal fees? Is this a fruitful exercise to run after to throw good money after bad money? And then lastly, Chair, on the slide that indicates the majority of 51% and up ownership of the disbursements of black female youth-owned enterprises, I want to know, are measures in place to measure the success of these beneficiaries? For us or for Land Bank, not only providing money, but to see to it that there is success in the businesses of the people that receive these funds. The reason I'm asking this is I posed the question to the Minister of Small Business Enterprises late last year, requesting a schedule of the success of support to SMMEs, and the answer was that it couldn't be given because it's not monitored. And I don't want us to sit with the same situation with funds being dispersed by Land Bank. That's all from me at this stage, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Barney. You know who's next, right? It's Willie.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, yes, I would also like to welcome the new Chairperson of the Land Bank, and thank you for your presentation. Honourable Chairperson, there's been a lot that has been said about losing clients and not being able to lend money at the moment. We know and we heard about that. My worry is with regards to remaining current clients. Surely when you take out a loan, a business plan is put forward, your production or possible production in your farming activities is taken into account, as well as the cost related to those activities, and then a loan is built upon your ability to then be able to pay that back. Now, we saw that bailouts are required, and we saw that the land bank is in dire financial needs. My great concern is with regards to the current customers or current clients of land bank. Will they, in the current situation with growth rates in petrol prices or diesel prices, in fertilizer, will they still be able to honor their agreements with land bank? To give you an idea, the fuel price, and we all know that fuel is one of the biggest input costs of any farmer. The fuel price from January this year until the price in June, the expected price in June, rose on petrol from R9.61 to R25.27. That is if the R1.50 government grant that was given is is taken away again. That will mean an increase of 29% on petrol cost from January this year to June this year. On diesel, it rose from R17.28 to R25.25 if the same measures is applied, which will meant that there's an increase of 46% that South Africans, and in this case farmers, experienced or undergone with diesel for this year. Now, diesel is what the farmers are using, so a 46% increase on diesel. When it comes to fertilizers, if you look at the three main fertilizers price, KCL, there's year-on-year a 134.6% increase. Urea is a 129.5% increase, and MAP a 73.2% increase. So when you look at the farmers that's got to pay back these loans to you, apart from the fact that they went through devastating droughts and they had locust problems, etc., which will have an influence on their payback ability, they have had to endure an increase of fuel in the form of 46% just since January this year, and an increase in excess of an average of 100% on their fertilizers. That will surely have a negative impact on their ability to pay back their loans. So my question is, has this been taken into consideration? Has this been factored in? And what will the effect be if those farmers that are reliant on fuel and fertilizers for earning their money and paying you back, what will the effect be on the finances of the land bank if a huge amount of those farmers become in default of their loans and not being able to pay you back due to not something to do with them, but due to the war in the Ukraine and due to fertilizer prices rising and fuel prices rising due to that? Has that been factored in, or what will the effect be of that? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also join my colleagues by welcoming the new Chairperson, and let me acknowledge the presentation. On the issue of the loan book, what measures has the bank put in place to ensure that the loan book is well managed now that they are going to keep it, they decided to keep it in-house? Does the bank have adequate capacity to manage it in-house? What have been the challenges and successes of managing the loan book in-house this far? Secondly, in terms of increasing the ownership of agricultural land by historical disadvantaged people, how is the progress in achieving distribution of land program aimed at historically disadvantaged people? Also, in removing gender discrimination in agriculture. Lastly, Chairperson, to what extent have the bank liquidity and funding challenges negatively affected its ability to fulfill its mandate? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, good morning, and thanks for the opportunity. Let me greet also the team from the Land Bank and welcome the appointment of the Chairperson. and hopefully looking forward to the speedy appointment of the CEO, because that will also have an impact in terms of the stability of the bank. If there's instability in terms of the leadership, that will have a negative impact. So we're looking forward into the process going forward, that it will be done in speedily. I will just be short, because some of the few issues that I wanted to raise, the Honorable Mulebane has powered me to a certain extent. But Chair, I want to kickstart my input by saying I appreciate and welcome in your presentation when you spoke about the implementation of the affirmative action, and I think there's a reason. Maybe I'm being inward looking, because one has been part of the process of developing that affirmative action, the AS, and there's one understood the reason why, and I think it's still relevant. And as an institution, we don't expect you to do away with transformation. There were imbalances, and as we move forward, we need to strive for balances, because we are experiencing a huge inequality in all areas as a country, and it's up to us and all the institutions that we're heading to make sure that we are moving towards balancing, and purposefully so. You spoke about focusing on young and women, and of which, to me, is the language that I understand, and I want to appreciate that very much, and say that transformation is one of the things that we prioritize, not really saying that we need to discriminate, but we need to prioritize in terms of balancing the imbalances of the past, focusing on the previously disadvantaged. My last and second issue that I want to raise to the land bank is in terms of what we have experienced, the disaster that we have experienced in KZN mostly, and part of Northwest. And I want to understand that disaster has also affected the farmers. What role are you playing? I'm not sure. I just want to understand as to what role are you playing in terms of restoring or assisting those affected farmers in those areas, because I think there was a lot of damage in their land and whatever they are doing on that land. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Those who asked questions, many of you have overtaken me as well, which is good. So may I, in the first instance, and Dennis, in fact, maybe I should, in fact, have said this after. Welcome to the new management and chair and board, and we wish you well. And it's very early days that you here in this role or roles, and it'd be very unfair for us to be unduly critical. So don't see this as a personal sort of reflection on you. The jury's still out. You may well be finally a panacea of some sort to the problems of land banks being besieged with for the last 5 years and more. So please know it's not your problem, but as a committee we can't, well, you know, I feel as a chair I have a responsibility also in this regard, but also as a member of this committee, and who's been around since 94, and who has seen this sort of thing go up and down and up and down, and, you know, there's progress and middle leadership has changed, both at management and board level, then an organization begins to decline, and when it's changed me if I sound a bit like questioning more than I should. It's not addressed to you personally, please. No reflection on you. You might be an excellent team, and we cannot judge you at this stage. So please. The first thing I want to ask is, in some or other form, we've heard this, at least the two of us in this committee who have been around since then in 2014, okay? So it's what, 8 years later? In some form or another, similar things have been said. And in some form or another, there has been no, well, let me retract that. Let me just put it like this. What is it that you're saying now that's any different in a fundamental sense from the commitments and promises made that were unfulfilled in the last, well, let's say since 2014, in my case, 8 years? What is different? What are you saying that something we can clutch onto as a promise of delivery? Secondly, the question is not also just addressed to you right now. It's addressed to Treasury. Treasury has daily, if you like, oversight over the land bank's performance without interfering in your internal decision-making. So where will you hear from Treasury? You will answer. Are you effective in your oversight? What are you doing to assist the land bank without interfering, needless to say, in operational issues? Can you give us a bit more? You've said a lot, and the questions put to you raise similar issues around it, but maybe a bit more about the remedial plan. And as has been asked by Deacon Shelley and was it funny, we hear what, I hear at least what Fanny is saying, that given your constraints, how much of transformation can you effect? Shouldn't you get right first? That old trickle-down story in the news today. Well, Fanny's entitled to that view, that's his view. I won't say he's misleading the committee, that's simply his view. Misleading means like, you know, misrepresenting, telling untruths. Imagining that every member of this committee can be waived by the chair, he once said a week ago or two. Not misleading the committee, he's merely giving a view that's different from mine, which he's entitled to just as much as I'm also entitled to a view, as are others like Dick Lady and Molly-San. No, basically what we are saying is, I think, we appreciate your problems. We appreciate that you have to get on a sound footing. We appreciate you can't fling money. Otherwise, you'll forever be where you are. But at the same time, it is very worrying. Very, very worrying. That, you know, how are you going to effect your mandate on transformation? And people out there are getting very, very impatient, you know. And the youth are clinging on to this thing of, you know, nationalize the land and so on. It goes beyond the EFF, actually. It's linked to a whole lot of frustrations youth have, particularly African youth, about the inability of this state, of this government, of our party, of the society, to meet their needs. And look what's happened since the war in Ukraine and COVID-19 and, you know, the July unrest and so on. So it is very concerning, really. And I don't think Treasury, you can escape responsibility. I mean, in one sense, Dennis is right. You know, the Minister, Deputy Minister should be here, but it can't be done without proper requests and reflecting on what's possible and how we can measure that against our need to. And I think it should be a joint meeting, really. It's too big an issue for the NCOP alone to handle. Now, the other issue that arises is, could you tell us a bit more, without getting personal, obviously, and revealing information that shouldn't be in the public domain, why did you leave your CEO? Why are you losing senior staff? You gave some hint that because of the general instability of the bank, people need to get a past it. Is it simply that? Now, Poppy Ntaka and Esther Mahube are very good staff members, right? And we encourage them to also, you know, speak in the meetings if they want to, but they're very shy about that and raise questions, right? So if you look at Poppy's very good paper advice, you can see all the questions she's put there. You've answered them, but not in the way, you know, I would prefer. So the liability solutions issue, the finalization of liability solutions, you know, How far do you think this will do to address your problems? Not clear. Give me a date of September 2022, if I'm right, okay? Now, I heard Willie and others raise this thing. Funny raised it about 6 weeks back. And he's right, it's horrific. Yesterday, I saw the AA say that there's going to be the biggest price increase ever anticipated if the war continues. This war has got nothing to do with us, really. Its effects on the poor and the disadvantaged all over the world, even in the developed countries, is astounding, really. So it doesn't look like it's going to cease. So, you know, this AA prediction may well come to fruition. That's next month, June, they're talking about it. I think all of you to see it. He raised the issue, but funny, rightly raised the issue. Funny, I actually did follow up on what you said, and I see how much of dependence the South African farmers have, whether they're emerging or established, you know. It's neither. Ultimately, when it comes to food security, we have to meet the needs of both components of farmers. Nobody has ever said that in the ANC. No, we must ignore established farmers. I mean, that's a ridiculous thing. Where does the food go to? Ultimately, not the majority of poor and disadvantaged as much as they scramble, unlike us, to find the means of buying food. But food security is indispensable to state stability. It's indispensable to any success of any government or majority party anyway in a democracy, especially the developing world. So, you know, I mean, the point that Fanny raised to me last time, which I didn't realize, Fanny, I'd read it, but when you raised it to me, it struck me, you're right, actually. The cost of fertilizer is zooming. So Willie mentioned all of that, but I think he forgot to mention fertilizer, right? That's huge cost, right? Now imagine the consequences of all of that. So, you know, now you might need financial support, presumably, from the government. Is there some sense, it's maybe too early, but is there some sense of how much support you will need? Let's not even go to where you're going to find the money. I really started to think, how are we going to find all this money then? So, from what I'm told by the support staff, they only spent $3 billion since September 2020. I think you partly answered the constraints, but perhaps you want to address that more specifically. So, I want to also draw attention to your National Treasury. Can you please come in on this issue? Because you are meant to take the responsibilities, and I said that you have to. So we're all in this together, colleagues from the Land Bank, you know, saying, look, it's an invidious position you're in. That you've accepted the post you have is something that we must commend you for. You have actually, you know, oh, Willie says he did mention fertilizer. Okay, Willie, I'm sorry. People get upset. It's a sense of propriety.
Not upset at all. Not upset at all.
No, I know, I'm cheating. Last week your leader got upset. He said he did the same thing as you, but I acknowledge you. What I meant to say is you put it much more stark, in my view, right? You mentioned a different time, so I didn't catch that. So your boss is coming to your aid there. Now, you know, this thing of popping up on my screen right now, I didn't know I used to do that before. I can actually see this chat coming onto my screen now. Okay. So there's some advance maybe on the iPad. Well, it is a new iPad. Okay, like, let me not bore you with that. The point is that really you put it very starkly, like in one short sentence, you know? So it hit me a bit harder than it otherwise would. It depends on what you say and how you, not what you say, how you say it too, not just what you say. So you did mention fertilizer. Okay, my mind drifted there. That's more reflection on you, really, than me. You didn't keep my attention 110%. All right, you mentioned fertilizer, just note that in Kulaleko in a minute, put it in bold. And you mentioned different types of fertilizer in Kulaleko, mentioned that too, and put in brackets, Mr. Dennis Ryder reminded the committee chair. Okay, I think we get that drift, but all farmers are in trouble at home. In fact, no, the farmers are in trouble, so the country is. Oh, funny, listen, he thinks we all against established farmers, maybe the only for emerging farmers. And we're delivering to neither and so on. Okay, we're getting fine. That's your point. You're entitled to continue to raise. The point is, colleagues, we're in big trouble. And I don't think it's fair for us to direct these issues only at the Land Bank. We also have to direct it to Treasury and direct it at ourselves. what can we do in our various roles as MPs out there in our constituencies, as people who do command some influence, especially those of us in the majority party with certain constituencies. So over the years, I work, well, I don't want to go above my own talk, but we have played roles, okay? We get approached to do constituency things by the farming community and so on. And I must say, in the last 2 years or more, I haven't been approached by anybody for any help in that regard. But I do want to say, somebody is saying type of fertilizer year on year March. I'm not sure what he's saying, but well, he can come in when he wants. Okay, can I hand over then to anybody else who wants to ask a question, including staff members who've done very good work? I take it, Nkululeko, you sent Poppy's report to the Land Bank, as you must, to everybody who appears before a committee, and they must respond to the question that she's raised, okay? And she's raised some very good questions, just to, but covered, but sometimes you don't cover it in the way. And then finally, in the way you should, directly. I would prefer, Nkululeko, that you speak to them and say, look, can you respond to the question specifically? You know? So that we know how far they, because Poppy spends a lot of time preparing those reports, colleagues. It doesn't just fall from the sky. Sometimes we forget the work the staff does, right? All three of them are very good at their jobs, okay? Nkululeko is like my boss. He keeps harassing me, right? Even on Sundays and so on, which is great, because I used to harass staff previously on Sundays. I've got a bit calmer now at 66. But you know what? They do a lot of work, okay? All three of them. And Poppy spent hours working on a very clear report. They're not our views as a committee necessarily, they're the view of a technically independent researcher, and so be it. But her views have to be addressed because she's appointed by the committee to draw this. If any member is unhappy about anything she raises, it's your responsibility to say it to us, and then we contact the stakeholder and say, no, no, we don't want this question addressed, okay? All right. Okay. Over to you then. There are some questions, as Fanny rightly says, you may not be able to answer. It's a bit unfair because these questions are also very specific around statistics. Okay, so to some extent where the other especially did. But he's was very, very, like I thought, good questions from his point of view, and some of his helped the committee as a whole. But maybe he's asking too much of a new board, so and a new management. So if you can't talk, you can't answer that, it's fine. We can give you 7 days to answer that. But the final thing is, you see, you're saying all these priorities here. You've got 1 to number 8. Now, I'm not sure that he can call you in. I would like that we call you in Nkululeko. You know that unless committee members disagree as a majority, that we call them in sometime in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter is very busy. Maybe the end of the third quarter, okay? Before the constituency period. And we would like you to not give us long stories. Let's take off from here. You should answer all these questions. How far have you got? I'm particularly interested, I'm sure, the majority in the committee on the liability solution by 30th September. So you start by saying, you see, otherwise what happens, colleagues, I've raised this to people, what happens is half the time we're covering ground that we covered in February or March when we had them here in different forms, right? And half the time we do new questions. No, we can't. We have to have a building block thing. That is why I feel if it's not asking too much, Poppy and Esther and Nkululeko, you should take off from where you left off. So you, in your report you say, the last time we asked the following questions, can you please respond to them? Then Poppy, Esther, Nkululeko, put your new questions in and send it out to them. Right? So please, can we move in a building block fashion? Instead of, you know, going around in circles half the time and half the time going forward and so on, then we're moving forward with new issues and new questions or new forms of questions. Thank you. All right, over then to the team from the Land Bank.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honourable Members. Firstly, for your well wishes. The board, even though we are new, we do take full accountability. That is why we signed up for.
New and young, and in your case, you to some extent not fully represent some gender demographics. Great. We look at you. We see how young. It delights people like me. I'm 66, my friend. You're young enough to be my granddaughter, right? So it's nice to see new faces, and it's nice to see, women in particular, taking on these key roles.
as young as I may look, but thank you.
I'm more old than I look.
Thank you. So let me start first off by saying, by addressing your comments, Honourable Chair. You are quite correct that a number of entities come to this committee, talk about turnaround plans, and a few years later we find ourselves in the same position. And the Land Bank has really been one of those entities. But I will tell you why that has been the case in our assessment as the board. The reason we come back to Parliament every few years reporting a distress and putting turnaround plans on the table is because we are not dealing with the fundamental challenge that plagues the Land Bank. The fundamental challenge of this institution has to do with its funding model. The Land Bank Act sets out a mandate for the Land Bank, and this act was really revised after the Strauss Commission that conducted their work on rural finance several years ago. This commission set out the requirement for an effective financing program, a state-led program in the agricultural sector. However, when we put the Land Bank Act together and established this new land bank, those recommendations were not taken into account. So what you essentially find is that we have a land bank that has a certain mandate, but a funding strategy that does not support that mandate. We have an unfunded mandate. To date, despite this mandate, the Land Bank has sought its capital predominantly from the debt capital markets. And as you well know, honourable members, that when you seek that kind of funding, it comes with certain restrictions. Those restrictions are not friendly for developing farmers. Those restrictions are not friendly for the work in the emerging space that this institution is meant to do. There are certain risk criteria that the bank has had to adhere to. There are certain parameters from a credit point of view that the bank has had to adhere to. And this, in essence, has really limited the effectiveness of the land bank when it comes to delivering on developing farmers, when it comes to delivering on transformation, particularly in areas where land tenure, et cetera, might not be clear. So I really do think, honourable members, that if we are to get to the heart of the challenges of the land bank and get a sustainable, long-lasting solution to the challenges that we face, we need to deal very, very decisively with this. We have been discussing with the National Treasury the kind of fiscal support that the land bank will require if we are indeed to deliver on our development mandate. We've had these discussions with our financiers as well, and this message, thankfully, has started to resonate. In resolving this, we don't only just need the intervention of the board of the land bank, but we need Parliament. We need the Ministry of Finance and we need the National Treasury. It has to be a concerted effort. Otherwise, we will turn around in this year and find ourselves back in this very same situation 3-4 years down the line. And that is really, I think, just trying to deal with the heart of the issues that we face. When it comes to the liability solution that we speak so often about, as we mentioned, we are targeting a completion date of the 30th of September of this year. And in essence, once we reach agreement with lenders on that solution, we will be able to cure the bank's state of default. This is not to say that all of the land bank's problems will be sorted by the end of September. What this solution will allow us to do is restructure the debt profile that Kamsani showed earlier in the presentation. So much of the debt that the land bank has already defaulted on, much of the debt that is due in the current financial year and in the future will be restructured, and a more sustainable debt profile will then exist in the bank. So this debt will still be on the books of the land bank and must still be paid by this entity through the assets that it generates in the commercial and the development space, as well as the cash that it generates. So, you know, as when we come back to the committee to report and the liability solution has been completed, let us not then be of the impression that the solution is a panacea to all of the land bank's challenges, but it certainly does allow us to resume some sense of normality. Let me deal with